hold his hand, keep fighting. All kinds of ways for you to appreciate your pastor, amen? I want to encourage these families who have brought young children. Oh, I know what a labor that is to get all those kids ready. I want to encourage you in the wisdom that you're using. Getting your kids around the presence of God and the anointing is one of the best choices you could ever make. Amen? Amen. I want us to start off today by taking off the mask. Can we be real? Amen. A lot of times we put on these masks that all is good in my life. I don't have any storms. Everything's just going good. But there's some storms going on, isn't there? My wife and I, we can be in a knockdown, drag-out fight. Anybody been married more than 2 years and know what I'm talking about? All right. I mean, we can be just getting at it. And then the phone can ring, and my wife will go over there and pick that phone up. Hello? Like nothing's going on. We want to take time here to be real, to take off the mask. There's a lot of things going on in the world today. But praise and glory be to God, we have one who is in control. I want to just go through a little list and so that we can be real. We have a lot of different things going on in our lives. Some families, and then probably not a family dynamic here, who has not been going through some chronic pain, physical abuse, mental abuse. How about financial pressures? How to make ends meet? How about hurting somebody you love the most? How about suicide and bullying? I have a neighbor whose husband committed suicide. 3 doors down, a 60-year-old gentleman committed suicide. A child with Down syndrome or epilepsy or some kind of sickness. Nothing's harder on a parent, is there, than to watch a child hurt? Drug addictions, alcohol abuse, families being divided. Loneliness, no one cares, hopelessness. Some have lost loved ones, spouses. How about depression? Anybody ever have some of that? Amen. Some have lost a child. Some have gone through mental illness, bitterness, hate, envy, jealousy, pride, fear, anxiousness, and worry. And the world is not the world of 40 years ago. Our government is ungovernable. There are problems that are so big they can't even begin to try to address it. But praise and glory be to God. We've got something to encourage you with. Now we looked at some of the storms, some of the trials, some of the tribulations. I'm done being downer Debbie. I've come here to share some good news with you. Amen? Amen. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 12 and 13. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceedingly joy. Amen? Amen. Do not think it strange concerning some of the things we're going through. I love praise songs. There's something about praise songs that touch my heart deeply. And when I find a praise song that touches my heart, I play it over and over and over again, and it drives my wife nuts. Because I can listen to it for 45 minutes, an hour, just over and over again. I want to share with you a song on that first CD, number 9, It Is Well With My Soul. I want to tell you something about this song. When I first heard it, I could tell it was anointed. I could tell Christ was in it. That river of living water began to flow as I heard this song ministered. And I just knew there was something special about this song. And then I found out the next time she sang it or gave her testimony on why the song meant so much to her, because she was going through some trials. She had one daughter, a drug addict, a meth addict, couldn't get off the drugs. And the other daughter was one of those eating disorders. We've all gone through some stuff, haven't we? But we've come here today to celebrate. To celebrate Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's play that song. It is well with my soul. We might just play it like for 2 hours. Do you mind? I think they're working on that. There we go. Yeah.
Earth has quaked before, moved by the sound of his voice, and the seas that are shaken and stirred can be calmed and broken for my regard. Through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well. Far be it from me to not believe, even when my eyes can't see. And this mountain that's in front of me will be thrown into the midst of the sea. Through it all, through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well. It is well. So let go, my soul. Trust in him, the waves and wind still know his name. So let go, my soul, and trust in him, the waves and wind still know his name. So let go, my soul. His name, the waves and wind. His name. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul.
Isn't it awesome that we can find a place of rest through it all? Oh, isn't that what the Lord Jesus Christ does for us? I don't know about you, but I love getting into His presence. I love that river of living water. I love that place of joy unspeakable. How about you? There is nothing like it. Once you've experienced the living Christ, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let's take a look at Scripture in Matthew chapter 11. And this is going to be our purpose from here forward in the service. We are going to set our eyes on Christ Jesus. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I love that word. You know, it's a conditional promise though, isn't it? First we must what? Come unto Him, seek Him, and you shall find Him. And then comes the conditional promise, I will give you rest. What is it to come unto Jesus? What is it to seek that rest? I like to ask questions and then look for the answers. And there's only one way to find truth, isn't it? The Word of God. The Word of God. What is the anointing? Can I be anointed? And what does the anointing do? Those are three questions I've asked. And then God showed me in the Word the answer to those questions. What is the anointing? Can I be anointed? And what does the anointing do? Let's look at the life of Elijah and Elijah. According to the Word of God, Elijah had an anointing on his life. That answers one question already, because God is no respecter of persons. He had an anointing on his life. And what did that anointing do in his lifetime? He had 14 miracles in his lifetime because of the anointing. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? 14 miracles. And he had a protege, Elijah, who asked for a double portion of the anointing. Wow, that took some guts, didn't it? I want a double portion of what I'm seeing on this man's life. And the Lord said, if, a conditional promise. You see him going up in a chariot, I'm going to give you a double portion. You know what that's telling me? Hang around anointed men and women of God. You've got to dump a lot of these people in your life. Don't forsake them. Don't give up on them. Plant and water the Word in their lives, but don't hang around them. They'll wear you out. Hang around anointed men and women of God. How many miracles do you think Elijah had in his lifetime? 28. Praise God. You know, math was one of my best subjects. And so I thought I knew the answer to that question. But in his lifetime, he only had 27 miracles. But God can't lie, can he? God can't lie. 200 and some years later, a dead body was being lowered into his grave. And when that dead body touched the anointing, there is something about the anointing. There is life in the anointing. And when that dead body touched that, boom, number 28. Isn't that amazing? So it's all about the anointing, isn't it? Let's look into the Word of God on what the anointing is. Jesus asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? And they come up with some ideas, John the Baptist, Elijah, a prophet. But then Jesus asked his disciples, who do you say that I am? And Peter speaks up and he says, you are the Christ. You are the Christos. You are the anointed one of God. You are the one who's been prophesied about. You are the one we've been longing for. And the Lord says something absolutely amazing to him. He says, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And Jesus says, and on this revelation that you just got, on the anointing, I am going to build my gates in the gates, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Isn't that amazing? It's all about the anointing. It's all about the Christos. Amen? Amen. I love that this church is a lot of people from different denominations here, aren't there? Cindy and I's ministry is all about ecumenical. We want bodies of believers to come together. But a lot of them are not getting along very well. But there's one thing I've found they all have in common. If you can get them to talk about what it's like to be in God's presence, what it's like to be in that anointing, what it's like to be in that river of living water, that's one thing we've got in common, because Christ says, I'm going to build my church on the anointing and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Amen? Amen. Amen. So why don't we seek him today? Why don't we press into him today? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things that we have needed will be added unto you. You know what I love about the anointing? The things of this world become strangely dim. When I get in the anointing, there's some things that just begin to fall off, like hate and envy and jealousy and pride. I need to get in that river of living water. If I do not get in the presence of God, my life begins to fall apart suddenly. But oh, he says, come. He says, come. And all I have to do, like the prodigal, is make one step and he comes running. He's never left me, never forsaken me. He's never conditioned about that door being open on whether Larry's got sin in his life and missing the mark, because my sins have been dealt with. Amen? Amen. Is that good news? Yes. Is that good news? I think a lot of people are not entering into the presence of God because of a misunderstanding of righteousness. A misunderstanding of righteousness. This is one of my favorite things to teach in the body of believers, is a righteousness not of works, lest any man boast. The enemy, the father of all lies, he wants you to think that right standing with God is not having any sin in your life. He's called the accuser of the brethren, isn't he? And when it comes to righteousness, right standing with God, he wants you to think that it's something you've done or haven't done, instead of something that's already been done for us. Amen? Oh, when I got a revelation of this, Pastor, it changed everything. Because I always thought I had to kind of earn my way into getting God on my side. But then I got a revelation of righteousness. Not of works, lest any man boast. I want you to get this in your hearts, not just in your minds, amen? I want you to get this revelation in your hearts. The book of Romans talks about the blood of the Lamb, doesn't it? I want that to be a reread for all of you. The book of Romans is talking about what the blood of the Lamb has done for me, what it has done for you, amen? And it's all about the blood, isn't it? It's all about the blood of the Lamb. The Word of God declares, because of the blood of the Lamb, I am declared right in His sight. Oh man, that's good news. The Word of God says that it has been imparted me a righteousness. The Word of God declares that I am just in His sight. The Word of God says justification, just as if I had never sinned. That's how the Father is looking at you. Amen? Amen. The words describing you and I, brothers and sisters in Christ, are just, justified, justification, right, righteous, and righteousness. And they all come from one Greek word. It's talking about a legal term, acquitted of all guilt. Acquitted of all guilt. Now, therefore, we can say there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. A lot of people aren't going into the Holy of Holies. They're not seeking the Lord because they've got a wrong idea of righteousness. The Word of God says, come boldly into thy throne room. Come boldly into thy throne room, making confession, so that you may receive grace and mercy in your time of need. Come boldly. Have you ever gone boldly into somebody's home? Maybe you owe them money. Maybe you flipped them off. Maybe you ran over their dog. Twice. Put it in reverse and did it again. Man, I like that. It's hard to go boldly into somebody's home when there's conflict, isn't there? Isn't that why the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross? To eliminate the conflict? to eliminate the conflict. Come boldly into thy throne room. You see, I used to stir myself in the most holy faith, getting a revelation of what the blood of the Lamb has done for me, because the Word of God says no one, how many? No one goes to the Father except through Jesus. So once I found out what Jesus has done for me, I found out I can go to the Father. And I would stir myself in the most holy faith, and I would go in there boldly, and I could feel the presence of the Lord. Oh my goodness, how refreshing that was to me, a sinner, reignited with the living God. Come boldly into thy throne room, making confession. So I had this idea of confession. I wasn't even Catholic, and I had this Catholic idea in my head. So I began to tell God every rotten thing I could think I have ever done. And I got kicked out of there so fast it'd make your head spin. And I would stir myself again, and I would go back into the presence of God boldly. Boldly, because my righteousness hangs on nothing but the blood of the Lamb. Boldly went in there. Started telling them what a loser I was again. And then I got a revelation. You know, our people are not, God's word says, my people are being destroyed for what? Lack of knowledge. Not a lack of prayer. Not a lack of fasting. A lack of knowledge. It's so important to get into your word and get that grounded in your heart. Amen? I found out the word confession, it really means to agree with what God's word says. That changed everything. To agree with what God's word says. So I went back in there boldly into thy throne room, and I begin to agree with what God's word says. Father God, I want to thank you that you have dealt with my sin. You have thrown it as far as the east is from the west. You have thrown it into a sea of forgetfulness, and there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Father God, I want to thank you that you've written my name in the book of life, and you have no eraser. I want to thank you, Father God, that you've redeemed me, you've purchased me, you bought me. Praise and glory be to God. Amen. God just wants to hear what his word says. Amen? Amen. I like to tell people, you know, 100 people here today, there's not one person here today more righteous than I am in God's sight. And that's really the only opinion I really care to take. You could argue with other people. In the United States today, 370 million people, and I can declare boldly, there's not one person more righteous than I am in God's sight. 7 billion people on the planet today, no one more righteous than I am. In God's sight. Isn't that amazing? That's good news. That is good news. So go boldly. That's how God looks at you. That's how God sees you, through the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, purchased, bought, white as snow. Amen? Amen. Come boldly into thy throne room, making confession, so that you may receive grace and mercy in your time and need. What is grace and mercy? Where does grace and mercy show up? Really, in the Word of God, you see it immediately after the fall, don't you? The Father was already working on salvation with the animal skins. But when God made a covenant with Abraham, that was grace and mercy. Because Abraham, he was just a losing Gentile like you and I. But God had mercy. God had grace. and made a covenant with Abraham, an everlasting covenant, a covenant of healing, a covenant of deliverance, a covenant of protection, a covenant of provision, a covenant of man being made right with God by nothing but the blood of the Lamb. Come unto me, all you are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest. Oh, I love coming into the presence of the Lord. You can feel the atmosphere change in the anointing, can't you? Things are, it's just, I don't know how to put it into words. You know why? Because it's supernatural. It supersedes the natural laws. But in the anointing, there is a joy unspeakable. There is a peace that surpasses all human understanding. Oh, how I love the river of living water. And he says, come. All you have to do is decide. I am going to get in the presence of God. I am going to seek him with my whole heart. I am going to find him. I am not going to quit. I'm going to knock on that door till somebody turns that handle. I need the living God. Amen. And in the anointing, what's it do? It breaks yokes and sets captives free. I don't know about you, but Larry misses the mark. It might be a thought of envy. I used to farm for 40 years. I see a farmer driving by with a brand new combine, green combine. And I think, man, why don't I have one of them? Envy just attached itself to me. Hate, envy, jealousy, pride, fear, anxiousness, worry. These are the things that are wearing us out in this life, amen? And they are on us. They attach themselves to us. But what I love about in the anointing, the things of this world become strangely dim. All of a sudden, they just begin to fall off. Because the enemy cannot stand the glorious light of the gospel. Amen. Amen. Come boldly into thy throne room. Come boldly. I want to encourage you in your faith journey. God loves you. God's not against you. Look through his eyes on how he looks at you and receive that. It is such a wonderful gift, lest any man boast. He has made you right with God. We sing the song, my righteousness hangs on nothing but the blood of the Lamb. But is that in your heart? Have you received that? That is a wonderful thing. Because the accuser of the brethren, he'll remind you of stuff you've done wrong day in, day out. Hello. At some point, we need to address the enemy and let him know, I know who I am. I've been redeemed. I've been purchased. My name is written in the book of life. We need to put him under our feet. Amen. Christ paid the price, but we have to take authority and let him know, my righteousness hangs on nothing but the blood of the Lamb. So I want to encourage you as a body of believers, get in the presence of God. When I mentor and encourage a new believer, and it was a privilege to encourage my brother Harry. I had heard from Rolf, Iowa, that Harry Gentle got saved. I thought, oh, I kind of doubt that, but I'm going to check it out. But when I got there, it was very apparent that the Christ had moved inside. And old things pass away. All things become new. Praise and glory be to God. The best thing you can do for a new believer is get them around Spirit-filled body of believers who understand about the anointing and enter boldly into the presence of God. If you can fill the sanctuary with the presence and the anointing of God, He will do everything. Because apart from Him, we can do nothing. I could have labored 1,000 years trying to straighten out Brother Harry, and I would have accomplished nothing. But I started taking him to anointed services where the living God was there. And the things of this world become strangely dim. Amen? Amen. Amen. I want to encourage this body of believers and thank you so much for the opportunity to plant and to water the good news of the gospel. I want to encourage you to continue to invest in your youth. It is the greatest harvest field out there. And God is always behind a church that is seeking the children and the young people with your talents, your investments. Amen? Amen. We live in very interesting times. Things are waxing worse and worse. Anybody agree with that? Yeah. But you know what I like is that the presence of the Lord is getting greater and greater. I want to encourage you as a body of believers to go after the lost. Don't always go out to hit a home run. I'm going to bring somebody to the Lord today. Quite often as the evangelist, what we do is we try to harvest something before it's time. And that's the worst thing you can do as a farmer is to go out in the bean field and try to run those beans through that combine. It hurts the combine. It hurts the beans. So in bringing people to Christ, just plant a seed. Just water a seed. Just tell them God loves you. God loves you. God's for you. I was a drug addict for 13 years. My life was falling apart. Marriage was falling apart. And then I met the living God and changed everything. Amen. So when I meet people now, I tell them, usually in the first 5 minutes that I meet somebody new, I'll just say to them, you know, I don't know where you're at in your faith journey, but I just want to encourage you. God loves you. That's all I say. You know what happens? If they love the Lord, they lighten up and they want to talk about Jesus. Amen? But you know what? I have found that those who don't know the Lord, they'll look at me funny and they'll think, well, he didn't judge me. And you know what they do? They say thank you. They say thank you. So all we have to do is plant a seed, water, encourage somebody. Do you know how many people's lives are just falling apart around you? Those are called valleys of decisions. The best time to minister to somebody is when they're in a valley. Their hearts are tender. That's the time to go and plant a seed. Encourage somebody. Because it's awesome seeing new creations in the church, isn't it, Pastor? Yeah. New believers. Well, thank you so much for the opportunity. Just keep fighting the good fight, amen? And remember, go boldly into the presence of God, because of all the world, there's not one person more righteous than you are, than you in God's sight. Is that good news? Amen.